Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
So coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Barack Obama is out in front. It is the finding among registered voters in the latest CBS News poll taken after the first debate. Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic.
Obama is perceived as more empathetic. More voters believe he understands their needs and problems than say that about McCain. 67% think Obama understands them. Just 46% believe McCain does.
Overall, Obama has moved out to a 9-point lead over McCain in the race, 49-40. Interest is high in the vice presidential debate, though fewer than 20% say it'll have much influence on their vote. The vote in the Senate on its lengthy version of a bailout bill comes up later tonight with the latest live now from Washington, CBS's Tom Foti.
Harley, the presidential candidates are on hand to vote in favor of the revised package. Here's Democrat Obama.
To Democrats and Republicans who've opposed this plan, I say, step up to the plate. Let's do what's right for the country at this time, because the time to act is now.
The Senate leadership in both parties support the changed package, too, saying it's new and improved with tax breaks and deposit insurance increases. But for independent Bernard Sanders,
this bill is still not good enough. It should be rejected by the Senate.
The vote now expected in about 3 hours. Harley?
Wall Street. The Dow lost 19.5 points today. NASDAQ was off 22. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
From having talked to a lot of traders, they're getting a little tired of all the political wrangling and just want to see something get done positive for both Wall Street and Main Street. And with each passing day, when a plan doesn't get passed, we're seeing more damage done to the economy, more banks taking a hit.
Oil at $98.50 a barrel today. No body and no wreckage has been found, but Steve Fawcett's wallet with his pilot's license has been found along with some cash in the California desert. It'll focus the search now around Mammoth Lake. The eastern half of the nation is having autumn. Out west, it's still summer fire season.
Just as Southern California moves into peak fire season, temperatures are soaring past 100 degrees, with temperatures hitting 108 in the San Fernando Valley.
I love it. Every day could be hot.
You know, you get this old, it's good for the bones.
The National Weather Service says L.A. gets some of its hottest weather about this time of year, and the current heat wave won't even touch the record highs. I mean, here it is October 1st, going over 100 degrees again today.
The world is ending.
So is the heat wave. It may even rain this weekend. John Baird, CBS News, Los Angeles.
La Mesa, California. Police say the chatty bandit robbed a Wells Fargo branch there in the San Diego area on Monday. A few hours later, the crook they called the Hard Hat Bandit walked into the same bank and stuck it up, and both got away.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
California requires restaurant chains to post the menu calories and the fat. Jonathan Blum speaks for Yum! Brands like KFC and Taco Bell.
All food can be part of a balanced diet if eaten in moderation and balanced with exercise.
Might take a fair amount of exercise on some of those items. This is CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From October 2nd through the 6th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs. And there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
Supreme Court said no, it'll stand by its own decision, which bans the death penalty for someone who rapes a child. State of Louisiana wanted a reconsideration, saying some crimes deserve death even if murder was not included. Attorney Jeffrey Fisher argued for the rapist, 44-year-old Patrick Kennedy.
It was unusual for the court even to entertain the rehearing filings, and the court's announcement today denying rehearing is certainly the end of the road.
It means the child rapist stays alive in jail for a long, long time. Police in Laconia, New Hampshire, say the man was on the wanted list, but he was pretty incommunicado when they picked him up, mumbled a lot. So they suggested he speak up, and he tried to run, and while running, spat out 19 small bags of heroin and cocaine out of his mouth, from which he now faces additional charges. Someone said something about that'll teach him to open his big mouth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
T stands for the thrill and tension-filled transcendent track of all tracks. T is for tenaciously tearing through 202-mile-per-hour traffic with drivers going from 3rd to 30th in 3 ticks. This track teaches lessons that can't be taught with a textbook. Every team, tire, and Tony will be tested. This is not tic-tac-toe time. This is toughen up or you're toast time. T is for being thunderstruck at Talladega, and that's that.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup continues on ABC, Sunday at 1 Eastern with race number 4, the Amp Energy 500 at Talladega.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It is useless to resist us.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. A safe harbor from the wild storms. And that's not the weather. We got financial storms, political storms. And I hope you're hunkered down and making it through all right. Lots to talk about on the program today. Your calls and comments welcome along the way at 888-5-PETER-B. We're going to open up talking about the media and its coverage of this bailout crisis as it has unraveled over the last 10 days or so. And, of course, tonight, Wednesday, the Senate is expected to pass, or at least to attempt to pass, a modified version of the bailout that includes an expansion of deposit insurance at financial institutions. We're currently covered up to $100,000 per account, and they're going to turn that up to $250,000. And the Senate's taking a big chance here. Just like the House did on Monday, where the vote failed, yet many members of Congress have this vote on their record, and it'll be used against them in just a month in the campaign, the election coming up November 4th. So we'll talk about that coverage and some of the angles there. Later this hour, David Novak is going to join us. He's a filmmaker who's produced a powerful new documentary called Burning the Future, Coal in America. He's been on our program a couple of times before. I met him at a film festival in Missoula, Montana earlier this year, and he is presenting his film at the Mill Valley Film Festival here in the Bay Area. It'll be showing at 6:45 Friday night at the Rafael Film Center in San Rafael, and I'm going to be there with David, so he'll be with us a little bit later this hour. Next hour, Dr. Bill Durston, a proud progressive, a Democrat who is challenging one of the most radical, zealous Republicans, Dan Lundgren, for his congressional seat near Sacramento. Bill Durston joining us next hour. Also, Steve Pizzo, the guy who I look to as an expert on a whole series of financial crimes in this country. He co-authored the book Inside Job, The Looting of America's Savings and Loans, back in the late 80s, and he covered that with great zest and distinction. He also covered the Enron meltdown. He was writing a daily email chain called The Daily Enron, back when Bush first was campaigning and took office. And in 1992, Steve Pizzo was called upon to testify on Capitol Hill about deregulation of banking. And he gave remarkable testimony that we will reprise for you when he joins us at 4:30 Pacific time. That's in our second hour today. And in the free speech zone, lots of room for your phone calls. And we'll have some excerpts from Barack Obama's powerful speech earlier today in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's all ahead here on the PBC show. You can join the conversation. Now wouldn't be a bad time because Eric Bollard of Media Matters is due to join us and we can't find him. 888 Peter B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. But I'll just carry on here as I would if Eric were present, because there's some very interesting information up at Media Matters right now related to the media's coverage of the so-called financial crisis and the attempts to pass emergency legislation. And you may recall that on Monday, just before the vote that narrowly failed in the House by 12 or 13 votes, Pelosi gave a speech. And we'll play a little excerpt of this speech along with Bill O'Reilly's just downright inaccurate comments. And then I'll share with you some experiences I had with Nancy Pelosi when I worked on a political campaign for her when she was running for re-election in 1996. So first up, here is O'Reilly on Pelosi.
Body language segment tonight, three interesting situations, beginning with Speaker Pelosi's unbelievable monologue yesterday before the bailout vote.
$700 billion, a staggering number, but only a part of the cost of the failed Bush economic policies to our country. Now, 8 years later, the foundation of that fiscal irresponsibility, combined with an anything-goes economic policy, has taken us to where we are today.
Which is chaos. With us now, the doyen of body language, the queen of physical motion, Tanya Ryman. Now, when we last left Nancy Pelosi, you were saying that her hand gestures don't match what she's saying.
Yeah.
Is the same thing here?
Yeah, I constantly see that. And one of the interesting things I saw tonight was as she's pointing, it's like her fingers are stuttering. So watch as she points. It's almost as if there's a verbal exclamation point that she's trying to make as she makes a
point. There it comes.
Ba-ba-boom. You see it? Ba-ba-boom. And she does this in this entire speech. I saw this consistently. And I always feel like her gestures are just too rehearsed.
Is it maybe she's just not coordinated?
It's possible. Yeah. You know, that's absolutely possible.
You know who Joe Cocker is? The singer, the rock singer, Joe
yes.
Cocker, okay?
Oh, you hipster,
Bill. He gets
Bill.
Out there and he's doing all this, and he's just not coordinated,
right.
You know?
But your gestures should be more natural. As we're talking, you know, there's certain gestures that are automatic.
And hers say, aren't. She's, and Bill's gestures right now, they're not very natural either.
Speech like that. Knows what her hands are doing?
No, I think that what happens is she practices the speech too much and wants to come across as forceful and powerful, and uses gestures that she might think are forceful and powerful.
Okay.
For instance, she started off with the rigid point.
So she's practicing.
I think she does practice, yes.
You know who used to do that, who practiced for hours before making a speech? And I'm not making any comparison here, so don't, you crazy left-wing websites out there.
Like
it's
me.
Not a comparison.
Yep.
Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler practiced for hours.
Well, he was in the...
Now, this is so bizarre, so freaking bizarre, because O'Reilly knows what he's doing here. He is saying that Nancy Pelosi, and this is an assertion made by Tanya Ryman. I don't even know who the hell she is. But she portends herself as an expert on body language. And she's critical of Pelosi. And she speculates, I think that what happens is she, Pelosi, practices the speech too much and wants to come across as forceful and powerful, uses gestures she might think are forceful. And so then you hear O'Reilly. And he knows Media Matters is rolling tape on his show. You hear O'Reilly say, oh, don't you left-wing bloggers get all excited about this. And then he makes this bizarre comparison to Hitler. Now, I do not get this at all. And as I mentioned, I think most of my regular listeners know that in the past, when I was not working as a talk show host at the time, I worked for Nancy Pelosi on her reelection campaign in 1996. I was the first to persuade Nancy Pelosi to use a teleprompter. Before that, she spoke off the cuff and not so well. She doesn't do so well with a prepared text, and she thinks that she is most effective when she is ad-libbing. And so we did one videotaping session with her where she tried to ad-lib around talking points or bullet points that were up on cue cards. And we shot it, and it was awful, and we destroyed those tapes. And then we brought in a teleprompter, and she struggled with it at first. But she got better as the session went on, and at the end of it, we got, you know, some pretty good footage, and her delivery, I thought, was pretty strong. But these two people are speculating, and I just have to speculate in return. I don't think Nancy Pelosi had the time to rehearse that, and she's not inclined to do that anyway. She thinks, you know, she knows she's not as eloquent as Barack Obama, but she believes that she communicates better when she speaks as ad-lib as possible. So from my point of view, this is just total speculation and things that are made up. And there was O'Reilly comparing Pelosi to Hitler. And it's not only bizarre and off track, it's just downright crazy. Here's Jackie in Watsonville. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Jackie.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Peter. I'm glad to talk to you again. I just wanted to say I haven't called in recently, but, you know, I think people ought to really be aware, and I'm talking about Republicans too, how easy it has gotten for Republicans to lie. I mean, they feed us lies constantly. And I think people have gotten rather passive about listening to their lies as if it's something that, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it really is a big deal.
And Jackie, let's take this as a current example. Pelosi gave this speech on Monday, and John Boehner, after his caucus didn't come through as he had promised, and, you know, the vote failed, he said that it was the partisan comments of the speaker that changed people's votes. And in the 24 hours following, that was proven to be just about totally false. There is no Republican Congress member who has stood up and said, yeah, I was going to vote for this junk, and then Pelosi gave that speech, and I just was so upset that I changed my mind. And the media has edged up to covering that, but they will not flat out say that John Boehner made that up, that it's a lie. They reported it as he said it. And from my perspective, again, what Pelosi was trying to do was not offend Republicans. She was trying to rally Democrats to vote for this crap. And, you know, she stuck her neck out and got badly burned. And then the Republicans turned around and said it was her remarks that cinched the death knell of that vote.
But that's what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, lies are, they're an everyday occurrence. We pay no attention to them. I think we should really start listening to the people that are talking to us. And when they lie, smack them down by coming back at them, by writing letters, by making telephone calls and saying, you know, like they did in that wonderful movie, I'm trying to think of his name, when the guy comes out and says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Network.
I'm sick of the lie. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sick of the lying. I'm sick of the subterfuge. I'm sick of hearing people's identities and reputations be slung in the mud because I don't have any sense of decency or anything, and mm-hmm. I can say whatever I want. And when the President of the United States does it, it drifts on down, you know? And mm-hmm. it's really, we've gotten too passive about all this. We should start rebelling about it.
Well, Jackie, I don't know who this is, but somebody sent me this song that you're about to hear that says, well, it delivers your point of view in a slightly amped up, cruder way.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all
Thank you, Jackie. Darling, you passed. We'll continue in just a moment. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. Tell me how you think the media has covered the so-called Wall Street crisis and the congressional attempts for a bailout. 888-573-8372.
We'd rather you people know, took a jury stand. Scott Peterson tried, well, he's a murderer, I agree. There's a lot more things in this world that your country needs to see.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers for alcohol and drug treatment. Go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Monterey Toreadors host the De Anza Dons at 7 p.m. Friday at MPC. Join Rob, John, and Joe. They'll be on hand to bring you exciting play-by-play and commentary. Join us from MPC on Friday at 7 p.m. on KRXA 540.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen intently to you? Looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the 2nd and 4th Sundays of October from 12 to 3. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 15-minute diagnostic evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
This is Peter B.
I'm a little old, but all I heard was a drone.
yesterday I was in the car driving to Silicon Valley, and I made a mistake you might not want to repeat. I hit the seek button on the radio, and suddenly Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly came on together. Oh, my God. O'Reilly has a new book out, and Glenn Beck was slobbering all over him. And as I listened, O'Reilly said that he was going to go after Barney Frank last night. And I don't know if he dug up Dick Armey's Barney Fag comment or exactly what. But at that point, my stomach was starting to churn, and so I changed the channel back to a safely preset radio station. We found Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org. Hey, Eric, how are you doing today?
Hey, Peter. Good, and you?
I'm recovering from my exposure to O'Reilly.
Yeah, double exposure.
And Beck. We were just talking about the clip that's up at Media Matters of O'Reilly and his body language expert comparing her to Hitler. And you could tell that he was thinking about Media Matters as he made that bizarre remark, because he turned to the camera, pointed his finger, and said, "Now, don't you lefty bloggers get all excited about this?" And then he said it anyway.
Right, right. Because Nancy Pelosi, I guess, prepares a long time before a speech, and
well,
did that.
And I offered my listeners commentary. I don't know if I've told you this, but I worked for Pelosi as a media consultant on her 1996 reelection race, and I was the first person to ever get her to use a teleprompter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And she doesn't like to prepare for speeches, and I believe in, you know, the demands of her job as speaker now. I don't think she has time to stand in front of a mirror and practice stuff. So they just made all of that stuff up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do, and unfortunately, the other quote-unquote serious, you know, TV outlets have they seem to adopt this idiotic language expert stuff. You see it on, we've seen it on the CBS Morning Show. We've seen it on other sort of legitimate news shows where they bring in, you know, these language experts to look at mundane political events. I mean, if there's some, you know, crazy news event they have to dissect,
mm-hmm.
you know, this sort of Zapruder film type of thing.
Yeah.
You want to go through frame by frame. But unfortunately, you know, O'Reilly's been doing this for years. He brings in these, I don't know anything about it. They sort of seem like clowns, and they pretend to read all sorts of meaning into how Hillary Clinton crossed her arms or
well, and I've
Barack
got six
Obama
ways. I have six that. Ways to criticize this expert who O'Reilly had on there criticizing Nancy Pelosi. And
right.
And this blows past the whole smokescreen that John Boehner and Roy Blunt threw up, which was that her speech was so partisan
yeah.
that it peeled off the 12 Republicans who
exactly.
were going to suck it up and vote.
Needed to pass it, right?
Yeah, and as I point out, Eric, she was trying to buck up the Democrats and get
yeah.
them to hold their noses and vote for this piece of crap.
I saw a column, someone saying, well, it was foolish for Pelosi to say those things that were critical of the White House because she needed, you know, Republican votes. I mean, last time I checked, basically every piece of legislation needs some sort of bipartisan votes. So therefore, i.e., no one should ever get up and speak in the well of the Congress saying anything negative about the other side. There was suddenly this brand new standard that if you needed any votes from the other side, you should never criticize anything the other side says,
which
ignores 230 years of parliamentary history in our
well,
country.
And as the majority of Republicans snubbed the White House. So she said
yeah, right.
critical things of the White House, and that caused people to, Republicans, to desert the White House? I mean,
which they had already deserted months before. Yeah, it was sort of sad that for about 24 hours, the press actually gave that serious coverage, and they sort of dropped it only after Republican members of Congress came
mm-hmm.
out and said her speech had nothing to do with it. That's the craziest thing they ever heard, because
yeah.
I think the backlash was pretty severe. Even Rush Limbaugh unloaded on Boehner and others,
right.
saying it was an idiotic talking point.
Eric,
but
it was brief.
You know, for the first couple hours, the press ate it up.
I got to run, Eric. Brief but beautiful. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Right.
And I want people to read your column up at MediaMatters.org about right-wing bloggers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Until now, it has taken laboratories across the country at least 4 days to determine when somebody comes down with the flu, what strain of influenza it is. Well, now a genetic test that can determine that in 4 hours has been developed, and it's already been approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
The benefit of this one is that with the FDA clearance, it's able to be a standardized test that we know that the results will be the same across all the different laboratories that are using it.
Dr. Dan Jernigan of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which developed the test in conjunction with Applied Biosystems of Foster City, California, he says speed and uniformity are not the only advantage this new test has.
But the thing that really makes this test different is the ability to detect H5, and H5 is the avian influenza or bird flu.
More after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
The CDC is now going to require labs across the country to buy Applied Biosystems equipment to run the new genetic test for flu.
This test is able to detect influenza A and B, which are the two types of influenza that cause disease in the U.S., but in addition, it's able to subtype, and by that we mean that we can tell which kinds of the influenza viruses are circulating.
Which is important to the CDC, says Dr. Jernigan.
We will use it as a tool for our own monitoring of what's happening with influenza viruses in the United States and elsewhere around the world, but it will also serve as a way to rapidly detect whether or not someone has H5 in those individuals who meet those criteria for having avian flu.
Each year, the flu results in 36,000 deaths and over 200,000 hospitalizations, so Dr. Jernigan says this new test is an important breakthrough.
We will be more prepared for a pandemic, and we will have a better capability to do surveillance for influenza and potentially improving our vaccine strain selection.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. In a moment, David Novak, filmmaker of this powerful documentary, Burning the Future, will join us. But I want to catch up with Mike in Sacramento. He's got information on the amendment to the bailout package offered by independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who was on our show to talk about just this a week ago. Mike, what do you know about the status of the amendment that Sanders has offered, which would tax Wall Street transactions to raise revenues to try to offset this gift to Wall Street?
Well, Mr. Sanders was on the floor of the Senate about an hour ago,
And he is proposing an amendment which would raise tax rates on those making $500,000 or more a year by 10% to generate $300 billion in revenues,
mm-hmm.
to be the first step towards anything that he could support in the way of a bailout.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, ask the people who've benefited the most to pay the bill.
Right. And what kind of, has it gone to a vote yet, do you know?
No, it hasn't gone to a vote yet.
So it's being debated by other members?
I don't know whether it continues. I don't know whether Harry Reid will allow it to happen. Things mm-hmm. have been so tightly scheduled to all happen at sunset
mm-hmm.
That it may not even get an opportunity to come forward. But Bernie Sanders was very eloquent.
Yeah.
Citing a half a dozen reasons why he can't vote for this,
mm-hmm.
as it now appears. The board members that are designated to monitor this whole thing have been hand-picked by the Bush administration. The executive compensation is worthless in terms of being serious.
About the only improvement on the governance and oversight side is that they did take out Paulson's line about how there shall be no court review, and I'm much more comfortable with that. But, yeah, most of the benefits advertised by the Democrats are greatly overstated and have loopholes wider than Wall Street.
Well, the other thing Bernie did was put up a picture of Hank Paulson, and he outed Hank Paulson for what he is. And he's the first person who did that. Immediately following Bernie on the floor of the Senate was Senator Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Sessions, he actually agreed with Bernie Sanders regarding Hank Paulson, which was monumental in my mind.
And Mike, I've been suggesting to the Democrats that when they talk about the Secretary of Treasury who's going to manage this bailout, that they throw up a picture of Phil Graham. Because that really, I think, paints the picture of what would happen if they give these incredible powers to the Treasury Secretary and McCain gets elected. Mike, thanks for that update.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Real quick, but I'm running behind.
Mr. Gerson's coming. I want to thank you for giving him some airtime. We in this district desperately need to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ask him if he could support such an amendment put forth by Sanders? And two, could you ask him if he feels that we have today a well-regulated militia?
Okay. I'll try to get to both of those, Mike. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Joining me now is David Novak. He is the filmmaker responsible for Burning the Future, Coal in America. David, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, it's good to talk with you. I just have to write down militia here so I don't get that key word to ask Dr. Durst next hour. Burning the Future will make its West Coast debut this Friday as part of the Mill Valley Film Festival, and that's at the Smith Rafael Film Center in San Rafael. And I'm planning to join you there, David, to welcome you to our hood and to get people excited about this film. I got a chance to see it earlier this summer, and I met you back in Missoula in June at the International Wildlife Film Festival. So we go way, way back.
That's right.
But give our listeners a quick sketch. Not everybody heard you when you were on the program before, of the focus of Burning the Future.
Burning the Future, Coal in America deals with people living in Appalachia who are launching a battle against mountaintop removal, coal mining, and other ill effects from coal mining and coal processing. And what you basically have is an industry that owns the bulk of southern Appalachia from just below Pittsburgh all the way down to northern Alabama. And they are pulling coal out at unbelievable rates like never before in the history of coal mining. And one of the methods they are using, and it now represents about 40% of all coal mined in the region, is called mountaintop removal mining, where mm-hmm. the mountains are first blasted with dynamite. Well, they're clear cut first, and then they're blasted. And the top, 400 or 500 feet, depending on the mountain, are just completely obliterated. And that's a big chunk of land and a big chunk of earth.
Mm-hmm.
And as all of that is unearthed, it takes up much more volume than it did when it was compacted on the mountain, and it gets dumped into the valleys that are surrounding, and those are the headwater streams for the Appalachian freshwater supply
mm-hmm.
that feeds countless metropolitan areas all around Appalachia. And the people are suffering tremendously from this. There's poisoned water, toxic water, black water events. There are a lot of low-income people who can't afford to go out and buy bottled water, so they really are poisoning themselves with bad water. There's the nerves and the fear from the blasting that can go on at all hours of the night, even though it's not supposed to, but it frequently mm-hmm. does.
And David, do the operators here who are extracting the coal have other options? Could they do traditional coal mining with, shafts and tunnels and little rail systems to pull the coal out? That would at least preserve the outline of the mountain that they are devastating.
Yeah, well, that's right, Peter. And they do still do that. I mean, as I said, it's about 40% of the surface mining, mountaintop mining, but there's still 60% of underground mining going on. But it is more expensive underground. It's more labor intensive. It is more dangerous work,
mm-hmm.
To be sure. In some communities, the underground miners think of themselves as the real miners, and the surface miners think of themselves as the real miners of the new age, and there's a bit of a sparring going on between the miners sometimes that way.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, we don't have to stop producing coal to make this, the horrible effects of mountaintop mining go away. We need to focus on underground mining, on making sure it's safe. As safe as can possibly be, which isn't always the case, and making sure that we are processing the coal after it's mined in a way that is safe, that doesn't poison the water of Appalachia. And mm-hmm. there are other techniques to use than what is being used, but those techniques are more expensive.
So it really is a cost factor that leads them to cut corners in terms of environmental policies.
Well, in fairness, it's a combination of cost and demand.
Hmm.
It's a very efficient way to get a lot of coal out quickly. And our demand for electricity in this country is tremendous. And as long as we are using coal-fired power plants to the extent that we are today, coal will continue to be the source of half the electricity that we generate.
Mm-hmm.
So demand is a big part of it. And I've been very careful in the film and when I speak after the film to not point the fingers too strictly at the coal industry, because it's not just the industry. It's all of us as Americans who don't pay any attention to where our electricity is coming from who really have a stake in what we are doing and how we can begin to migrate to a green energy economy that will get us away from coal.
And to what extent has the Bush administration been successful in moving the coal industry to voluntary regulation? We've seen just how effective it's been on Wall Street.
There are direct parallels. I was listening to you speaking with the other caller,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't help thinking that what's going on with energy with the current administration and what's gone on with banking with the current administration. I mean, there are parallels, and it's gone on in healthcare. It's gone on in the pharmaceutical industry and in the chemical industry. There has been very little regulatory oversight. There are laws in place that should ban mountaintop mining. But those laws have been weakened by the administration so that the Army Corps of Engineers who issues permits can get around those laws. And the biggest one, and this is one of the things I'm so excited about this season, is the Clean Water Protection Act. The original Clean Water Act had provisions that would ban mountaintop removal mining because the waste from the mining is buried into the headwaters of the streams, and upwards of 1,300 miles of streams have been buried in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
And they have found a way around that. Well, now in Congress is a new act called the Clean Water Protection Act, which basically is meant to shore up those provisions so that there aren't workarounds. And it has something around 130 sponsors. It's changing on a weekly basis, which is a tremendous amount of sponsors at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And this Clean Water Protection Act should be hitting the floor very early in the new administration.
Very interesting. Now, David, give me a little look at the regulatory framework here. Is coal mining regulated primarily by the federal government, or do states have a role, for example, in requiring the companies that use mountaintop mining to properly restore the environment that they disrupted?
It rests in both the states. state and the federal level, depending on, you know, exactly what we're looking at. For instance, the State Department of Environmental Protection is supposed to monitor the reclamation, the fixing up that's been done after the land has been destroyed. And they pretty much look the other way. But MSHA, which is the mining regulatory agency in Washington, which is a federal agency, is also responsible for that. And together they're responsible for the permitting process. For instance, a coal company goes in to get a permit to blast a new, you know, new area, and they need that permit issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. It's a federal permit. And one of the things that the Bush administration has been able to do is to make blanket changes in the requirements for environmental evaluation when these permits are issued, so that the permits can be streamlined. The coal companies can submit 12, 13, 14, 15 at a time and have one environmental impact statement cover all of them, which is really pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And as you point out, many of these states are so dependent on the revenue and the jobs that come from these industries that they don't really regulate them in a very serious way.
That's right. And what we see in Burning the Future is we see people living there within communities fighting amongst each other because there are folks who work for the industry and want environmentalists who in many cases think of themselves as survivalists rather than environmentalists. They think that they're taking jobs away. And the coal companies are telling the miners that these folks who are trying to stop that permit are taking your jobs away. And at the same time, you have people who feel for what's going on and want to put an end to it, but they're afraid because the history tells them that if they stand up against the coal industry in a state that's owned by the coal industry, that they're going to suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult ground, but what all of the national and local organizations involved are saying is that we need a green economy, and we need that green economy placed in the coal fields in part to put people to work. And there's no reason why that couldn't happen. There's plenty of flat land now for mountaintop removal mining, ironically.
Yeah.
And there are lots of train lines. It's a great transportation infrastructure. It's the infrastructure that right now is moving coal out could be moving, you know, parts in and out for windmills and solar panels and things like that. And there's no reason why a green economy cannot be, put in those areas to replace what would be lost to a cessation of mountaintop removal mining.
David Novak with us, the filmmaker of Burning the Future, Coal in America is the subtitle. There's a website with a lot of information. You can see the trailer and learn more about the story told in this documentary, burningthefuture.com. That's www.burningthefuture.com. And again, his film will be screened twice at the Mill Valley Film Festival this weekend, Friday night in San Rafael at 6:45. That's the Rafael Film Center. And then at the home base of the film festival, the Sequoia Theater in Mill Valley on Sunday. That's the 5th of October, 4:45 in the afternoon. And, David, you also have a screening coming up on October 18th, but I don't know if that's open to the public.
That's right. We're doing a screening at the Kabuki Theater, which Earth Justice is sponsoring, which mm-hmm. is wonderful. So Earth Justice has their fingers out bringing people in to see this, and I don't know if they're opening it to the public or not, if there's quite enough room in the theater.
Yeah, okay. Well, people can probably go to earthjustice.org and check that out.
Absolutely. And the DVD's available on the website, but I hope to see people show at Mill Valley because I will be there for a Q&A, and I love nothing more than to open up dialogue about the discussion.
We'll continue in just a moment with filmmaker David Novak. If you have a question or comment about coal or the allegation clean coal, give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, a renewable power source.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
The Danville train, till so much cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I took the train to Richmond that fell. It was a time I remember oh so well.
Joan Baez singing us into another segment on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's an old railroad song, and you know it was a coal-fired steam engine when they drove Old Dixie down. David Novak's with us, the producer-director of Burning the Future, a dynamic new documentary about coal in America. One of the songs I was looking for that I couldn't find during the break is the LNN Don't Stop Here Anymore. You know that song, David?
Yeah.
It's about Harlan County, Kentucky, coal
mining territory.
Johnny Cash did a version. Michelle Schacht did a version. And that's what I think of when I think of coal mining country. I grew up in Cincinnati. And I worked in a soft drink plant in the summers during high school with a bunch of refugees from Harlan County. And they were happy to be, you know, working above ground.
I'm sure. And you must have seen all of those barges of coal going down the river.
Yeah. Oh, a whole lot of coal on the Ohio River. I once water skied on the Ohio River. I can remember landing on the shore, and it was just so mucky. And you kind of felt like, you know, there was coal floating everywhere.
That's right.
And
David,
I contrast that. You know, I just, you're probably aware of this because you know that about half of America's power is generated by coal. But here in California, we're relatively pristine. We have about 20% nuclear, but only about 2% of the power in California comes from coal generation, and it's power that's bought from other states. We do not have any coal-fired generating facilities here in California. We're fortunate that way.
Mm-hmm. And partly that's because of the mountains. It's very expensive to get coal. It's very heavy to get it up over the mountains. And mm-hmm. where it's mined closest to you is Utah, Wyoming, and Montana. But to get any quantities, you know, realistic quantities for big power plants over the mountains from there is impossible.
Here's Margaret in Brookings, Oregon, who has a question. Go ahead, Margaret. You're on with David Novak.
Hi, David. What's Senator Rockefeller doing, if anything, about
very, very little.
That's
precious
what
little.
I was afraid
both
of.
Senators of West Virginia.
Oh, well, the other one's dead.
Yes.
Wait. He's fossilized, but he ain't dead yet, Margaret.
Oh, all right.
I mean, give us another couple of centuries, and you know, we can heat somebody's kitchen with Robert Byrd.
That's right. Senator Byrd and Senator Rockefeller have both been very good friends to the coal industry through all of these years, and they've done wonderful things on the Senate floor. There's no question. But mm-hmm. when it comes down to supporting coal industry, which is the dominating economic force in their state, they support it, and they support it at the cost of residents who suffer.
Has any one of them ever gone out and looked at this mess?
Yes, they have.
Oh, and
they're both well aware of mountaintop mining and what it's doing.
Thinking of something else. All right. I just wanted to check with you.
Great question, Margaret. Thanks. Good to have you listening here on the PBC show. And, David, what about the United Mine Workers? As a labor union, do they take any environmental positions, or is it all about jobs and safety and black lung in their agenda?
It's about jobs more than anything, and safety and black lung, but it's really about jobs. Because this is, I'll look at West Virginia because I'm most familiar with the statistics there. There were 120,000 miners in West Virginia 30, 40 years ago, and there are 15,000 miners now. Mm. And they're mining, you know, more coal than they ever have in the history of the country. So the mechanization of coal mining has created, you know, has really gotten rid of lots and lots of jobs.
Yeah.
So they're always talking about jobs. And early in this movement against mountaintop mining, they were supportive of the environmentalists because they recognize that a surface mine takes much less labor than an underground mine.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of against them. But now it's turned. And it's turned in a big way. And you can see in Burning the Future Coal in America a scene where, you know, the head of the UMW is in West Virginia talking to people at a rally, essentially saying these people, and these people are the environmentalists, these people are trying to take your job.
Yeah. Let me jump to Gina in Salinas. Gina, I took your advice and I Googled Sovereign Wealth Fund. Take it from there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You know what it looks like? It looks like the Sovereign Wealth Fund is probably the banks that own the Federal Reserve. It looks like, and there's a group, there's different groups of them, okay?
All right, now, Gina, let me ask you, does this tie into coal, or is this about the financial meltdown?
I just wanted to
okay,
make sure
then
looked this up.
Do me a favor, Gina, call me back in the free speech zone later today, and we'll talk about it. David, I want to thank you for joining us, and again, I want people to go to your website, burningthefuture.com. They can see the trailer, they can buy a copy of the DVD, and if you're here in the 415 area code, the screening at the Mill Valley Film Festival, Friday, October 3rd, 6:45 p.m., and I'm going to be there. Sunday, October 5th, 4:45 p.m. That one is in Mill Valley at the Sequoia Theater, and there's a website at mvff.org if you want to get the lowdown on the Mill Valley Film Festival.
That's David, terrific, and on the website of the film, there's a listing of a host of screenings at other film festivals around the country. So
great.
Wherever your listeners are, please have a look and see where it may be showing near you. It will also be on the Sundance Channel for their second airing on October 21st.
All right. Have a great trip out here. We'll see you Friday, David.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
David Novak, again, burningthefuture.com. Congressional candidate Dr. Bill Durston challenging Dan Lundgren. He'll join me next on the PBC show.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My computer.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Senate votes on the rescue plan within hours.
I am confident it'll be a good vote, and a good vote in the Senate is anything that passes.
But not without opposition.
This bill is still not good enough. It should be rejected by the Senate.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Members of the U.S. Senate are expected to vote in less than 2 hours on a massive spending bill to jumpstart the credit markets. The bill that was rejected by the House has been sweetened with tax breaks and more insurance for bank deposits. Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid is pushing it hard.
Inaction is not an option we have. Is the program that we've set up perfect? Of course not. But it's going to work and help.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr is following this story.
No one really wants to predict vote count after what happened in the House, but Senate leaders say they're confident they will have a broad, sweeping, bipartisan approval of their version. The real question, though, is what happens in the House? Because while the tax package that's now part of this bailout bill might appeal to some of the conservatives who voted no the other day, at the same time, the same tax credits could drive away some moderate Democrats who were yes votes the other day.
While passage is expected this evening, it will not be unanimous. Vermont independent Bernie Sanders is vehemently opposed.
We must act, but we must act in a way that improves the situation. We can do better than the legislation we are dealing with tonight.
North Carolina Republican Elizabeth Dole says she'll vote no. President Bush weighed in during a White House photo op.
As I say, the bill's different. It's been improved, and I'm confident it'll pass.
Barack Obama returned to Washington and, speaking on the Senate floor, said the bill is not a bailout for Wall Street.
It's the American economy that needs this rescue plan.
John McCain is also returning for the vote. He spoke earlier in Independence, Missouri.
If we fail to act, the gears of our economy will grind to a halt.
Now this.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who might I judge?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
The stock market was in a holding pattern today. The Dow closed 19 points lower.
This market is desperately searching for guidance. It's looking to Washington now for its next step. And so much hinges right now on this bailout plan. The market didn't really know which way to go, and so we ended with just a modest loss.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. The price of oil fell $2 to $98.53 a barrel. It's a terrible time for automakers, foreign and domestic. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports their September sales fell as much as 34%.
Auto showroom traffic dried up in the last 10 days of the month as reports of the credit crisis discouraged customers who wanted to buy a vehicle. Others couldn't get the credit. In some parts of the country, hurricanes damaged car dealerships, and in the southeast, people are just trying to figure out where they're going to find the gas to fill up their cars.
A CBS News poll finds the Democrats have widened their lead in the presidential race.
Obama, Biden get 49% support from registered voters, and McCain and Palin 40%. This appears to be a slight improvement for the Democrats since the first presidential debate.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic, 41% of the voters surveyed said Obama won that debate. Only 21% said McCain won. The Pentagon plans to keep troop levels in Iraq about where they are now through much of next year, but some of those troops may be needed elsewhere. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
In Washington, lobbying for his version of the surge, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan says additional American troops
are needed as quickly as possible.
General David McKiernan wants more political and economic aid as well to counter violence that has left at least 127 Americans dead this year, the most since 2001.
We are in a tough fight. The idea that it might get worse before it gets better is certainly a possibility.
Commanders are seeking up to 15,000 more U.S. troops on top of the 35,000 or so already there. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From October 2nd through the 6th, save at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paint, stain, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save. Only at Sherwin-Williams. For painting, decorating, and great savings. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, Steve Pizzo returns. He's an expert on financial crimes. Goes all the way back to the savings and loan scandals of the 1980s.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I dig snow and rain and bright sunshine.
And Pizzo gave some testimony in 1992 on Capitol Hill in opposition to bank deregulation. He'll share his thoughts about that a little bit later this hour. But first, here comes the man who's taken on Crazy Danny Lundgren for Congress.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
I think Dan Lundgren is a certifiable right-wing nut. And I don't have a license to pronounce that, but it didn't stop me, did it?
I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy?
Dr. Bill Durston is the man taking on Crazy Danny Lundgren, trying to wrest away his congressional seat. It's District 3 near Sacramento. Bill Durston, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter.
Now, you're the medical doctor here, and I know you're not a shrink, but do you think Dan Lundgren is a certifiable right-wing nut?
I would say he definitely displays
an antisocial personality disorder when anybody at a town hall meeting or in a letter or email or something like that challenges his right-wing ideology.
Yeah. I haven't actually talked to Dan in a few years, but he served two terms as Attorney General here in California. And during that time, I interviewed him quite frequently. And I put him in a class with B1 Bob Dornan. Because he's one of those people who's very smart, knows his stuff, and has practiced, rehearsed his attack lines over and over again. And the experience of being in a radio studio with Dornan or Lundgren was quite similar, because no matter what subject I brought up, they would change the subject to an attack point. And they're very good at it, and it seems to be effective for their core constituents. But it comes up short, particularly when they are confronted by very critical issues. And I'll give you this example from August of this year. Lundgren serves on the Judiciary Committee, and when Congressman Conyers, the chairman, called this almost impeachment hearing in August, Lundgren went ballistic. And he was very emotional as he attempted to defend the White House, and was using a lot of sarcasm and very cynical comments to deride the chairman and the proceedings before him. And it showed me that he had no real strong arguments. He couldn't counter the litany of offenses laid at the feet of Bush and Cheney. And so all he could do is attack the messenger.
And that's a very characteristic of him. We've seen it repeatedly at town hall meetings. If people want to get a live view of that, or not live, but on tape, if you go to the Durston for Congress website, durstonforcongress.org, click on Durston Lundgren debates, particularly the first Elk Grove debate, and you can see what happens when somebody asks him a question that's difficult to answer, and he just cannot stand up to scrutiny. For that reason, he has totally ignored my challenges to debate him in 2008. We also have some ads on the Durston Congress website, and they star Dan Lundgren himself displaying just that kind of arrogance. One case, he tells a young man in high school came to one of his town hall meetings, who asked him, "What are you going to do for me?" He said, "I'm not running for office to do anything for you."
Ooh, that's a real nice constituent approach, isn't it?
Yes, but that people who know him throughout his career, when you ask, "Well, what is the word that comes to mind when you think of Dan Lundgren?" Oftentimes, people know him best say arrogance.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. Now, as I recall, Dan Lundgren hails from Long Beach.
Yes.
How the hell did he wind up taking over Doug Ossie's seat in Congressional District 3?
Well, that's a good question. And what happened in 2004, Ossie decided not to run again. Lundgren at the time was a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. for a company, a firm called Venable LLP. He bought a small residence in this district to make it look like he lives here, and was in a tight Republican primary, actually. And then after he won the primary, then he won the against the Democratic challenger in 2004. At that time, it was pretty heavily Democratic, a Republican district, but it's been shifting more Democratic ever since. It's now less than 4% Republican advantage. In fact, it's the district in California with the narrowest Republican advantage of any district with a Republican incumbent.
Well, how did that happen, Bill? We haven't had a redistrict. I mean, they've tried to redistrict, but it hasn't happened. So there is a population shift, or simply people are disaffected with the Republican Party?
I think it's a combination of three factors. One is being disaffected with the Republican Party. We have house parties throughout the district, and we have so many people come who either say they've changed their registration from Republican to Democrat, or say they're Republican, but they're going to vote Democratic. We have a very strong grassroots voter registration effort. One gentleman in particular here in the Sacramento area gets credit, Ralph Seifers. He's down at the New Citizens swearing-in ceremony, at the farmer's market, everywhere he can be, with a lot of volunteers working with him to register voters. And finally, we've had an influx of more liberal people from the Bay Area.
Well, that's encouraging, because I thought it was a good solid 10-point advantage for the Republican in registration in your district.
No, it's 3.6% now.
Wow.
And it's roughly 41% Republican, 37.5% Democrat, and then that leaves 22% other, mainly declined estate.
Mm-hmm.
So with a good Democratic turnout and with the majority of the declined estates, we should win this race.
Well, and of course, the Speaker and the Democrats have put hundreds of thousands of dollars into your campaign to help you close the gap, right?
Wrong.
Oh.
In fact, just to give you an example, the Speaker came into our district to campaign for a congressional candidate at a home in our district, but it wasn't me, and we weren't invited.
That for Matsui?
That was for Doris Matsui, who's a shoo-in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not yet attracted the support of the National Democratic Party.
Has Doris endorsed you, Bill?
Interestingly, no. I actually got an award from one of the local Democratic clubs called the Robert T. Matsui Award for Doris's late husband.
Yeah.
And she did a video presentation congratulating me on the award. But when it comes to endorsing me, she shied away from that. And it's hard to understand why, because she and Lundgren vote exactly the opposite on virtually every important bill.
Yeah.
And she is a shoo-in. But I found, you know, as a neophyte, I hate to call myself a politician, but someone running for office, it's been interesting. Mm-hmm. I've gotten the endorsement of Lois Capps, Lynn Woolsey,
mm-hmm.
But not of Doris Matsui and another local congressman.
Yeah. Well, I would like to ask my listeners in the Sacramento area, we still have a few listening online. We lost our AM station there back in March or April. But if you live outside Sacramento, please go to durstonforcongress.org. I don't tell people how to vote, and I don't offer particular endorsements, but I'll say this. If I lived in District 3, I'd be going door-to-door on behalf of Bill Durston for two reasons. One is, Bill, I've come to know you well enough and respect you, and I regard you as a true progressive who would fight for the issues that we care the most about. And secondly, I know Dan Lundgren well enough to know just how dangerous it is to leave him in Congress. He is a radical zealot. He's not a simple conservative. He's not just a rank-and-file Republican. I consider him to be one of those aggressive people who is from the Tom DeLay wing of the Republican Party. It's slash and burn. It's grab power. And as you pointed out in the arrogant example, the examples of his arrogance that you described, he has, you know, real contempt for the very people he represents.
Yep. That's very true. And by the way, your respect for me is mutual. I have tremendous respect for you, and I've learned an awful lot from you during the time that we've known each other.
Well, thank you, Bill. I want to take a break here and return and get your thoughts on the financial bailout that the Senate is preparing to vote on in just a couple of hours. You wrote an op-ed piece that you shared with me, and I want you to offer some of those comments to our listeners. And if you have a question or comment, or you would just like to offer your support, verbal, or perhaps you can offer some financial support to Dr. Bill Durston in this challenge to Dan Lundgren, I'd be much obliged. My lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. More in a moment here on the PBC Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
I'm Annabelle Lund with KRXA Traffic and Weather. In Santa Cruz, we have a car blocking Skyland Road west of Highland Road. A brush fire reported between Gilroy and Hollister on Route 25 south of Hudner Lane. And this one I love. An ice cream truck is blocking the street at the school on Russell Road at Van Buren. I say go for the chocolate nutty buddy cone. In weather, partly cloudy tomorrow, mild temperatures, light winds, a chance of rain Friday and Saturday. If you have a news or traffic tip, call me at 831-402-2976. We'll be right back with KRXA AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Like a gift from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She fire in her soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. And a soul in the room, keeping time with her.
Dr. Bill Durston is a real progressive, challenging Dan Lundgren for his congressional seat there in District 3, Sacramento area. His website is durstonforcongress.org. And, Bill, you sent along. Well, first of all, I want to mention that Dan Lundgren voted for the bailout in the House on Monday. Did he offer any explanation to local media about that?
Well, he was quoted before he voted for it, saying that he didn't think we should socialize the financial industry, and also saying that he didn't think that we could retroactively reduce these, obscenely high CEO bailout packages.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterward, he was quoted as saying that the government hadn't adequately explained what the risks of not passing it were,
mm-hmm.
but didn't specify himself, exactly how he thought that there was objective evidence that things would be as bad as some have predicted if the House didn't pass the bill.
So he was all over the map, but in the end,
right.
Supported the White House.
Yes, and also he supported his friends in banking.
Yeah.
He's gotten $25,000 from the American Bankers Association alone since he moved in, or allegedly moved in this district in 2004, from the financial industry in general over the course of his career. It's in the hundreds of thousands. So basically he is voting in favor of his corporate interest, as he always does.
In the op-ed piece that you wrote about this pending bailout, you said that you kind of drew on your experience as a medical doctor and said, well, first, do no harm.
Exactly. And, you know, plenty of times we see patients in distress. Let's give an example of severe respiratory distress in the emergency department. And you have to do something, but you don't necessarily have to do the most dramatic thing first. In fact, sometimes the most dramatic thing would be like putting a tube into the patient's airway to breathe, has considerable risk associated with that. And once in a while, a patient will die while you're trying to do that. So I think that to, go another $700 billion into debt when the government is already $10 trillion into debt violates the first do no harm rule.
Yeah.
And to reward corporate greed to bail out industries that, engaged, or institutions that engaged in unsound business practices, basically out of greed,
mm-hmm.
I think would be sending the wrong message.
Yeah. Now, Mike in Fair Oaks called a little earlier and wanted me to ask your position on the Bernie Sanders amendment. He wants to reinstate a higher income tax rate on the super wealthy in this country to help fund the downside of this bailout.
And I think that's a good idea. I think that would be necessary, but not necessarily adequate to make this a good bill. But certainly, if we put our federal government in more debt than it already is, we risk other countries or individuals who hold a share of that debt of making a run on our bank, so to speak, and the whole country going bankrupt, and then we have a serious problem. So I think that any way that we address this has to be overall neutral as far as the debt goes, and certainly increasing the taxes on the ultra-wealthy individuals and ultra-wealthy corporations, I think, is one reasonable part of making it revenue or making it debt neutral as far as increasing the national debt goes.
Mm-hmm. Bill Durston, next hour I'm going to play some excerpts from a speech, a powerful one, that Barack Obama gave in La Crosse, Wisconsin, earlier today. And while I admire the politics of it, and he, I think, pretty brilliantly packaged a bunch of populist economic positions that really sung to me with the stinging message that he's returning to Washington to vote for this. And I'd like to know how you view Obama in this respect. Do you believe that he is sincere here, or is he kind of playing both sides of this issue, representing continuity to Wall Street and the have-mores, while pitching populism to the have-nots?
You know, I'm thrilled that Barack Obama is the Democratic president. I hopefully he'll soon be the Democratic president,
yeah.
Democratic candidate. And, you know, I've not been elected to office. He's been elected to Senate, and he's been nominated as the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party and the leading candidate. So I'm not going to undermine what Barack Obama does and says. My simple approach, coming from the point of view of being an emergency doctor, is to tell the truth as I know it, hopefully in a way that people will not, you know, immediately stop listening, but tell the truth as I know it. And, you know, I do not support certainly the House version of the bill. I haven't read the Senate one in as great as detail. And
the only real change is the bump of deposit insurance from $100,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, that would be not enough for me to vote for. And I'll tell you another issue that I don't agree with Barack Obama, and that is I agree with him withdrawing troops from Iraq, but I don't agree with sending those troops to Afghanistan.
Good for you. I think it's really important to raise those issues. We haven't had a thorough debate about it, and people have just said, oh, yeah, that's the good war, and Bush has ignored it, so sure, send more troops there. And, you know, Afghanistan has never been successfully occupied. We're not going to change that.
That's right. The British ambassador today, a memo was leaked, and he said, we're losing the war there. The U.S. military presence is more of a problem than a solution, and once again, we're supporting an absolutely corrupt government, and it's the corrupt government that is the stimulus for the insurgency there.
Well, Bill Durston, I wish you the best on November 4th. Some people will be voting early, so I want you to keep him in mind. If you get an absentee ballot, that's how you decide to cast your vote. Bill Durston is challenging Dan Lundgren. He's got a very good shot at knocking off this dangerous incumbent, and I'd like to see people rally behind you, Bill, and bring this baby home.
Yeah, and it really is. It's all of us working together to take back our democracy. By the way, I was waiting for the well-regulated militia question, but maybe we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I didn't have time for that, and I wasn't sure where to put it. DurstonForCongress.org. Very good, Bill. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. We'll continue. Steve Pizzo joins us next to talk more about financial crimes on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Bailout 2.0, Beta. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. On Monday, the U.S. House killed the Wall Street bailout after about a million Category 5 emails almost swept them out to sea. So today, the Senate will step in, and after Rosh Hashanah ends at sundown, we'll try to pass the bailout in the dark. Not quite the same bailout. This version raises the insurance on bank deposits for a year. And since the Constitution says money bills must originate in the House and not the Senate, the way the senators get this bill not to originate in the Senate, even though it does, is to attach it to a completely unrelated bill from the House that extends energy tax credits, which is very popular, but also not paid for. And so, the bill the Senate will send to the House on Thursday morning is a bailout plan that is even more expensive than the bailout plan that failed in the House for being too expensive. It will be interesting to see if the 12 Republicans who didn't want the president's economic failures rubbed in their faces on Monday will welcome it on Thursday. Ah, but there may be a magic wand. Because according to a little item on page C-22 of today's Wall Street Journal, some shaky banks got a little healthier overnight after the Securities and Exchange Commission clarified its accounting rules, so that loans that were listed as having basically no current value may now be legally listed as having value based on what they might be worth someday. I believe the technical term is lipstick on a pig. Or if you prefer, it's like saying, I can see profits from my house. Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright.
Remember, the more the question is worth, the harder it is.
Why do we ever have questions on the Quantum Leap Saturday night at 9 p.m.?
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Are you ready for a bailout for billionaires? The Senate's working on it right now. Barack and Johnny have flown back to Washington to vote for it. Ready, steady, go.
Ready, steady, go.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Steve Pizzo introduced me to the term financiopath. Steve is a co-author of a seminal book from the 1980s called Inside Job, The Looting of America's Savings and Loans, and he has covered financial crimes starting with the SNL meltdown of that era on through the go-go Enron period. He also was a witness to the dot-com boom, and now he's semi-retired and blogging like a son of a bitch. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Peter? God, you make me sound like a Tomaine Mary here.
Well,
place I show up.
Well, if people want to get a taste, Steve's blog and news site is newsforreal.com, and he does a great job there. It seems to be his morning constitutional to get the bile out of his system.
Moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a little building where we have therapy right next door, and as long as I keep doing this show, I don't have to get on the couch.
Well, I mean, here we are again. I mean, I remember being on the radio with you 20 years ago when we were talking about the SNL collapse and, mm-hmm. and the bailout around that. And
Charlie Keating's buddy, John McCain, is
John McCain.
The standard bearer for the bankers. The Republican Party.
Yeah. Yeah, same cast of characters.
It just hasn't changed that much.
No, it hasn't. And, in 1992, Ed Markey called me and said, we're considering repealing the Glass-Steagall Act. Now, for those that don't know what the Glass-Steagall Act is, it was passed after right in 1933, after the last Great Depression, mm-hmm. when Congress realized that allowing commercial banks, so your regular bank out there, to do business with Wall Street and vice versa was a really bad idea. And so they barred the interaction between these two financial entities.
Mm-hmm.
And Markey, and I knew they were thinking of repealing it, and Markey knew I was against that, and so he asked me to come back and testify.
That's Ed Markey, congressman from Massachusetts, who was chairing the House Banking Committee at the time?
Well, it was actually, he was a member of Dingell's Committee, the Commerce and Energy Committee, which
okay.
had jurisdiction over this. But
see.
So I went back there, and of course I was teamed up with a bunch of lobbyists from Wall Street and banking, and I told them, I said, look, before you repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, you better check to see if somebody repealed the laws of human nature first, because otherwise we're already sitting here trying to sort through a nearly $200 billion mess, the SNLs, and you're about to create one many, 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 many times worse by allowing Wall Street and the banks to commingle.
Well, let me take a moment here to read from your statement that day, because I think it's very powerful and people have that sense of deja frickin' vu. You dispense with pleasantries. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for an opportunity to address this committee. To get right to the point, this so-called bank reform legislation is nonsense. It is dangerous nonsense. The premises on which it is being peddled to Congress are contrived, cynical, and transparent. They are the very same arguments recycled from a decade ago, only then it was the U.S. League of Savings Institutions that was peddling them, rather than the ABA and the Association of Bank Holding Companies. What is amazing to those of us who remember those days and witnessed the aftermath of the Garn St. Germain is that so many in Congress appear eager to follow this demented Pied Piper a second time. Now, Garn St. Germain, that is what permitted savings and loans to have direct investments in real estate. Is that right?
Real estate and damn near anything else they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to only be able to invest their money in home loans.
Mm-hmm.
But Garn St. Germain said, oh, what the heck? You know, and so that's how one SNL ended up owning two whorehouses in Nevada, which we now own, by the way, or at least we did for a while.
Yeah.
So here we are again. Here we are again, and we're going to, you know, there's a term in economics which, you know, causes people's eyes to glaze over. It's called moral hazard. And all moral hazard means is whenever you create a situation where a person can take a risk with somebody else's money, and if the risk pays off, they get to pocket the profit. If the risk doesn't pay off and they end up losing their shirt, somebody else has to pick up the tab for that. It's heads they win, tails someone else loses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they did with the SNLs because of the federal insurance and yada, yada. And now this is exactly what we've got here. We're about to – when we bailed out the SNLs, by the way, we did create some sense of moral hazard because people looked at that and said, well, you know, if you make a big enough mess – the government has to step in and bail us out. So the bankers and Wall Street learned from that, and they created the mother of all messes this time, and they're sitting there on the sidelines now with their hands out waiting for the government to come and buy all the garbage that they have been selling to one another and to other banks around the world, claiming that this garbage was worth billions, and it turns out it's not worth much at all. Derivatives, you know, people have asked me, well, yeah, but the RTC, the Resolution Trust Corporation, got all those SNL assets and started out with $500 billion, and they sold a lot of it and got it down to about $167 billion. So, you know, won't they just do that again, and maybe the taxpayer can even make money on this? Well, what the Resolution Trust Corporation was selling was known things, shopping centers, houses, warehouses, things like that. What the government is about to buy from Wall Street, these derivatives, nobody, and I mean even the people who created them, understand them completely. Mm-hmm. They give them funny names. My favorite name for one is called the reverse floater. Now, I remember the guy trying to explain it to me, and I said, look, you don't have to explain it to me, because I'd never invest in an instrument that sounds like something that won't go down when you flush the toilet. So the government's going to buy $700 billion worth of this crap.
Yeah.
And
that won't flush.
It won't flush, and it's not worth much. And the bankers and these companies that are going to get this taken off their books, they get to keep the good stuff.
Yeah. It is brilliant.
I want a deal like that, man.
Me too.
I'm 63 years old. I've never had a deal like that.
Well, Steve, back there, when the RTC had taken over these SNLs and was busy flipping either the institutions themselves or the properties that were in their portfolios, I actually went to a couple of the auctions, and I waved my high-limit credit card that should never have been given to me around and said, well, come on, I'll put 20 grand down. What can I get? And what was fascinating, and this ties into the title of your book, Inside Job, it was really clear that these auctions were just for show. And they were flipping these assets to, you know, the existing savings and loan operators in the industry, and a few people from outside who had formed what we would now call a hedge fund to buy up some of this property, scoop it up at fire sale prices, and hold on to it long enough to profit.
Yeah.
And so that was just as clear as day, sitting there in a couple of those auctions, to see how that worked. And that is the model, isn't it, for what's going to happen now with the floaters?
Oh, it's the model times a billion. Because these instruments that these people are dealing with, only a handful of people, George Soros, you know, Warren Buffett maybe, although Warren calls derivatives financial weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
He's been calling them that for decades, and nobody's listened to him. But the people who will be bidding on these will be able to sort the bad stuff from the good stuff and pick out, you know, cherry pick it. And then the taxpayer is going to be stuck with the stuff that's absolutely worthless or actually toxic. Worse than worthless, it's toxic. It'll end up costing us money rather than making us any money. No, this is terrible. And what we ought to do is simply call, you know, we can sit here and argue about whether people on Wall Street are moral or amoral. But one thing we all know they are is they are the world class deal makers. Man, these people know how to squeeze money out of a rock. And that genius that they have, that maybe evil genius, is not being put to work right now because they're just sitting there waiting for the government to deliver this $700 billion. If they were told right now, they're not getting it, right now plus 10 seconds from now, they'd be on their cell phones cutting deals furiously.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would survive. Some of them would.
Well, the case in point to buttress what you just said is AIG.
Yeah.
AIG had some suitors.
They had buyers.
They turned them down and said, no, we can make a better deal with Bernanke.
Yeah, they got a better deal from Uncle Sam, man. Why would they want to do that?
So
Uncle Sam can print money.
Let me ask you to comment on a couple of things here, Steve Pizzo. And that is, what we've seen is what I consider to be the illusion of a trickle-down solution. And I say illusion because this package, even as it's been modestly modified by the Democrats, doesn't necessarily offer any hope of producing a change in what they've identified as the current problem. So they say there's this big credit crunch, and I'm dubious. I do understand that credit has tightened and the interbank rate has jumped, and yes, there are real bank failures here and in other parts of the world. Yes, there was a huge run on the money market. Yes, there was a run on WAMU, $16.5 billion in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no assurance whatsoever that this package at $350 billion initially and a trillion or more ultimately will loosen credit in any way, shape, or form.
No. Trickle-down economics is a fraud. In fact, it gets everything backwards. The way a real economy, a sustainable economy works is trickle-up. You put money in the pockets of working people, they spend it, that creates demand for products and services, and then companies that provide products and services grow and blah, 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 and then eventually the people who have good companies and stuff get rich off them. Now, that's how it works, and if they really want, they should take this $700 billion and spend it on our crumbling infrastructure, our medical care system, put that money out there into circulation, and they get a bigger bang for that buck than they'll ever get buying crap from Wall Street.
And so, in comparison, what would be the relative cost of identifying homeowners, not speculators or investors, but people who live in a home with a mortgage on that home, and that mortgage is going to trigger, you know, an escalating payment?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the cost of offering a program to those people who want to come forward and refinance those loans into 30-year fixed, at some nice, attractive rate? And therefore, we could then remove those mortgage contracts
mm-hmm.
from the pool
right.
and from the sliced and diced derivatives, and then the mortgage-backed swaps and the insurance on that. All of it would fall into place because you remove the virus.
Yeah, well, the cost of that that you just proposed would be a rounding error compared to the $700 billion they're just going to pump into Wall Street and the banking system. And both sides, Obama's voting for it, McCain's voting for it, because there's only one thing when you're 35 days away from an election that a politician fears, and that's to look irrelevant. But in fact, right now, the best thing they could do is go back to being their usual irrelevant selves and do nothing. Just do nothing. I know it's terrible. It's supposed to be unpatriotic to say that. But I'm telling you, this $700 billion, and I guarantee you, Peter, 6 months after that money goes out, we're going to be right less than 6 months. Some people say this buys us 3 months.
Yeah.
But I'll give them six.
Well, and if you think of a snake that just digested something really big and you can see it moving through the critter, we know that the bulk of the mortgage problems are still down the road. We're maybe halfway through.
Yeah, that far, yeah.
But we can't predict exactly how all that will play out. And again, if we started with the underlying virus, I think we'd get much further in restoring confidence and restoring equilibrium.
And I'll tell you, the last thing in the world those banks want is to repossess those homes. That's mm-hmm. the last thing they want. So if they knew they weren't going to get those mortgages off their books or get bailed out, they'd be sitting down with each one of those homeowners and saying, all right, let's see if we can cut a deal.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Steve Pizzo. If you have a question or comment, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. And I am still waiting for a listener to this program to call in and identify the credit crisis and how it has trickled down to you. Have you been denied a loan that you're qualified for? Have you been told not to even ask for a loan? Has a business line of credit been cut or revoked? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, I'd like to hear from you, because so far the credit crunch they've described seems theoretical to me. 888-5-PETER-B. Check in now. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where cash is king.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm Annabelle Lund with KRXA Traffic and Weather. If you're traveling back to the Monterey Peninsula from the Bay Area, our traffic reporter on the scene, Hal Ginsberg, says stick to Highway 1 or Highway 17. Highway 101 is a nightmare. In the Hollister-Gilroy region, there's been a car accident on Route 85 at Cottle Road. In weather, partly cloudy tomorrow, mild temperatures, light winds. The sun sets tonight at 7:03. Enjoy the sunshine while you have a chance. There may be rain Friday or Saturday. There certainly will be clouds. On the calendar, don't forget tomorrow night, the vice presidential candidates Joe Biden and Sarah Palin will appear in their first one-on-one debate. We'll be right back with the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour, talking about the bailout for billionaires. The United States Senate ready to approve a package. It's been tweaked just a little bit with the expansion of federal deposit insurance. And Steve Pizzo, take us back to the SNL era of the 80s, because that's one of the things that they did then. That's when it was increased, what, from 25 grand to 100,000 per account.
Right, and of course, Wall Street had a finger in that too, because they were providing what were called broker deposits, which where they would bundle money up from like pension funds and things like that, and put them in savings and loans in $100,000 chunks. They'd take $20 million and split it up into $100,000 chunks. Each account would have a different number. And so when the bank went down, the SNL went down, the government had to cover every one of those, even though the pension fund had way over the $100,000 limit in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, by raising it to $250,000, they're once again exposing the taxpayers to risk unless they re-regulate the banking system. And, in fact, they don't even have to re-regulate it too much. What they really need to do is just regulate it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough laws on the books, but there's not enough examiners, and there was no will in this administration, by the way, to regulate anything.
Yeah. I want to thank Shane in Santa Cruz, who emailed twice, actually, with information about Peter DeFazio, the congressman from Oregon, who is leading the charge for the trickle-up package. And we've invited the congressman and also Donna Edwards, the newest member, most progressive member of Congress, at least elected recently. She's from Maryland, and we have invites out to both of them to join us tomorrow. If their schedules permit, we will be talking with them. Let's go to Aldous in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Aldous, welcome.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, you asked any listener to call in who knows of a direct impact this has had, and I can tell you that this is kind of interesting. I'm getting married November 1st, and my mom was planning to come into town. She was trying to buy a couple things on her American Express card yesterday that she was going to come here and take with, and they were denied. When she called up American Express, she was informed that the day before, when the bailout failed, American Express had lowered her limit to just barely above what she'd currently charged up on the card.
Wow.
And that they've been doing that to, the person on the phone said they did that to a whole lot of people.
Huh. Steve, have you heard of this?
Well, it really depends on what her credit score is, because another lady called into a radio station I was listening to in the car today and said just yesterday she got an unsolicited offer from Citibank for a $50,000 line of credit that she didn't want, didn't ask for, didn't need. So it really depends on your credit score. If your credit score is anywhere, you know, down there too low, they're gonna start trimming you back.
Thanks, Aldous. Now to Tracy in Eugene. Welcome, Tracy. You're on with Peter B. and Steve Pizzo.
Hi. Well, as far as the unsolicited lines of credit go out, I received personally a unsolicited line of credit offer from Washington Mutual yesterday, so I'm not sure how credible those unsolicited lines of credit are that come out. You've been pre-approved. But I work for a financial institution, and we have people who are coming in daily, and they just are wanting to refinance these ARMs. Our hands are tied.
Because?
Well, these were people who were told when they got these, you know, this is the only loan you're going to qualify for.
Mm-hmm.
You have to refinance this, and you have to fix your credit within so many years. And these are not loans that we did. These are people are coming to us. We didn't do these adjustable rate mortgages.
Okay, but Tracy, what you're talking about are people who are not fully qualified. This is what I'm looking for is any evidence that people who are qualified, who have a good credit score and a good income and want to buy a house or a car and are being turned down. Because I'm just trying to quantify the threat and the extent of this credit crunch that is routinely described by the Democrats who support the bailout as ready to cause layoffs tomorrow, and I see no evidence of that. Steve?
No, I don't see it either. And I what's happening in Washington right now are a bunch of politicians up for re-election trying to look busy and trying to look relevant. And so, you know, they're just spouting a bunch of nonsense. As I said before, the best thing they could do is simply say, we're going to let this a capitalist society. There are consumers out there who got overextended. We've been warning, there's been articles about warning people, you know, the average credit card balance now is some astronomical sum, like $20,000. That's stupid. So the people who need to suffer are the people who need to suffer. And I have no sympathy for the people who got themselves overextended. I have no sympathy for the companies that helped them do that.
Tracy?
And I agree 100% with that. I believe that all these people, they thought that this huge payday was going to come. They were going to buy this house. Then in 3 years, they were going to double their money. Well,
Tracy, thanks a lot. I want to jump over to Deborah in Carmel by the Sea, listening on KRXA. Go, Deborah.
Hi, Mr. Pizzo. I used your Inside Job book as my little savings and loan crook Bible back in the day. I spent a year of my life looking at two guys who slithered into town and wanted to build power plants in the wrong location in my county. And it really literally helped me understand how dangerous and evil the liars were.
Cockroaches.
I keep listening to the list of bad characters, you know, whether it was lousy appraisers or lousy rating agencies. I am concerned about the home builder that knowingly built homes for which there were no real buyers, and much like during the savings and loan days,
yeah,
when you built the high-rise office building and, you know, they came to be known see-through buildings.
I was in Miami a year and a half ago, and it was clearly overbuilt then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where that money came from.
Yeah, well, you know, the builders figure out fairly the big, and this is not your little community contractors. I'm talking about big construction companies. You know, they learn very quickly that you can get millions and millions of dollars in construction loans and build stuff that isn't needed and still make money.
Yeah, Deborah, I gotta run. Thanks for your call, Steve Pizzo. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your wisdom.
See you in 20 years.
Yeah.
For the next one.
Thank you. We'll take a break and return to more of your phone calls. The Free Speech Zone is next. If you're on the line, stay there. If you're not, get there. 888-5-PETER-B.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti in Washington, where the U.S. Senate plans to vote within the next hour on a revised financial package its backers now insist is not a Wall Street bailout, but a needed economic fix. Democratic presidential candidate and voting Senator Barack Obama.
It's the American economy that needs this rescue plan.
John McCain is back to support it, too, and Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is also among the reluctant backers.
At this point, doing nothing to prevent an economic collapse is really no longer an option.
But it has opponents, too, both Democrats and Republicans, and if it passes the Senate, its chances in the House are still unclear. I'm Tom Foti, live in Washington with more CBS News. Here's Bill Whitney.
Businesses and consumers are starting to feel the credit squeeze. Automakers report steep sales declines in September. Ford sales were down 34%, in part because customers couldn't get financing. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason explains.
What's happened is essentially the overnight rate that banks charge each other has soared, and that means it's very hard for them to make money, because sometimes they borrow from each other to lend to clients. If the rate they have to pay is really high, then they don't make any money lending, you know, to us. So they don't want to lend, then they don't borrow, and the whole credit market freezes up. And that's kind of where we are.
Barack Obama has a 9-point lead over John McCain in the latest CBS News poll. He was 5 points ahead last week. But when it comes to the voters' current concern, CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes says neither candidate gets high marks.
The new poll finds voters don't have much confidence in either candidate to handle the economic problems that he will inherit. A full 50% said they were not confident that Senator McCain could right the ship. Senator Obama did a bit better. Only 39% said they weren't that confident in him.
When a Metrolink commuter train slammed head-on into a Union Pacific freight train in Los Angeles last month, 25 people were killed, including the Metrolink engineer. Was he distracted? Federal investigators say his cell phone sent or received 57 text messages during his 3.5 hours operating the train, and Robert Sanchez sent a text just 22 seconds before the crash. The lines were a bit shorter today in the areas of the southeast affected by the gasoline shortage, but as CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports, It's not over by any means, and tempers are frayed.
Fuel is still hard to come by in parts of Georgia and the Carolinas. People topping off tanks are angering those who are running on empty.
I think they need to hold off and wait. Give everybody an opportunity, you know, to get gas, because it's causing a problem.
There's a lot of selfish people in this world, and that's just the way it is.
Hurricane Ike disrupted oil production, and fuel companies are limiting how much they release so they can build up reserves. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The stock market is in wait-and-see mode. The Dow down 19 points today, closing at 10,831. The Nasdaq lost 22 points. The price of oil down $2 to $98.53 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Do you suffer from cold sores? Relieve One Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment is out to prove how fast it really works. If you suffer from those nasty sores, try Relieve and find out for yourself if Relieve works really fast for you. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. It's easy to find and is in all major drugstores. So if you get cold sores, remember to get Relieve now. And keep it ready to use the moment a cold sore attacks.
Get the good stuff!
Fall means more nighttime driving, so stop into a participating Napa Auto Parts store and pick up some Napa TrueView headlamps. They offer unbeatable nighttime visibility, and now for a limited time, when you purchase two Napa TrueView headlamps or headlamp capsules, you'll get a $2 mail-in rebate. Stop into a Napa Auto Parts store today and get headlamps that make things easy on your eyes and a $2 rebate that'll do the same for your budget. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Your mailman might be your best friend if terrorists ever release anthrax into the air. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
Just in case there's ever an outdoor anthrax attack, the government's preparing to use volunteer postal carriers to deliver antibiotics door-to-door in their communities. To prepare them for that task, Health Secretary Michael Levitt wants to provide the eligible letter carriers with kits of small quantities of antibiotics for use by them and their families so they're protected while delivering the drugs. The Postal Service has tested the drug delivery plan in Seattle, Philadelphia, and Boston.
There are two bank robbers operating in the San Diego area. One, known as the Chatty Bandit, is believed responsible for 9 holdups since March. The other, called the Hard Hat Bandit, has robbed 3 times this week. On Monday, their paths nearly crossed. The FBI says Chatty held up a Wells Fargo branch at gunpoint, and less than 3 hours later, Hard Hat hit the same bank. Both robbers made clean getaways. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi... too many cats, by all means. Who might the judge?
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Billions and billions of your tax dollars are about to be gifted to Wall Street. This evening, the United States Senate is expected to vote, and I expect they will pass the slightly modified Paulson-Pelosi-Bush bailout package. As you may know, I don't favor this. This alleged crisis has brought out the crude capitalist in me. The guy who says, when a company fails, you let it fail. That's what the bankruptcy laws are for. That's what limited liability companies are designed for. Oh, but this is too big. the very same people who pocketed $40 billion in Wall Street bonuses just a year ago are lining up with their hands out. Say, if you don't give us a federal bailout, the credit system's going to just lock down. The banks may collapse. And it is so hard in a political climate like this to call that bluff. This is the Free Speech Zone, and your calls and comments are welcome this hour. You can talk about the bailout, any other subject. You can offer any viewpoint. The rules are pretty lax here. We do ask you to speak English and be as coherent as possible. 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B if you prefer. I'd love to hear from you today. You heard Steve Pizzo's comments and the history now being repeated of the savings and loan bailout. And as I mentioned, back there in the late 1980s, I actually went to a couple of those auctions and tried to see if any outsiders were going to pick at the carcasses of the savings and loans. It didn't happen that way. It was just a feeding frenzy for the people who were already wealthy. And that's what I see shaping up again. And so I disagree with Senator Obama. Not that he's returning to Washington to be in the Senate for this vote, but that he intends to vote for it. He's claiming authorship of the idea of expanding deposit insurance from $100,000 to $250,000. I don't oppose that, but it doesn't fix the problem. It won't cause banks to loan money. And as we heard, there are people whose credit is being restricted, but we're not sure if that's based on a lack of available funds or credit standards that have tightened. And I'm still waiting for somebody to prove what Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi and others have said, including some Republicans, that were on the verge of a kind of credit freeze. And I just want to add one more time, I'm not in denial. I know that there are real problems in the financial system in the world. But just as Big Oil tells us that the free market system entitles them to their obscene profits of the moment, the free market system requires that when obscene losses are incurred, that people get fired, they're held responsible, and they're on the hook for the financial losses that they created. And I don't want to see us dragged into this, but I believe the political die is cast. And before I go to your phone calls, I want to spend a couple of minutes here and let you listen to a segment of a speech from Senator Obama earlier today in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And while I disagree with him on voting for this package, I think he gave a brilliant speech. And I think politically, he is very effectively using these issues to expand his lead over John McCain. And so on that basis, the political basis, I'm pleased and somewhat encouraged. And what you're about to hear is Senator Obama extending beyond the issues of the bailout to talk about reforms and restructuring that he would lead us toward as president. And again, I think that by balancing the bailout for billionaires with a lot of populist talk for average working folk, I think he has struck a remarkable chord. Let's listen.
I know many Americans are wondering what happens next. Passing this bill will not be the end of our work to strengthen our economy. It's just the beginning of a long, hard road ahead. So let me tell you exactly how I'll move forward as president. From the moment I take office, my top priority will be to do everything I can to make sure your tax dollars are protected. I'll demand a full review of this financial rescue plan to make sure that it's working for you. If you, the American taxpayer, are not getting your money back, then we will change how this program is being managed. If need be, we will send new legislation to Congress to make sure the taxpayers are protected in line with the principles that I've put forward. You should expect nothing less from Washington. And if we do have losses, I've proposed a financial stability fee on the financial service industry, so Wall Street foots the bill, not the American taxpayer. And as I modernize the financial system to create new rules of the road to prevent another crisis, we will continue this fee to build up a reserve so that if it happens again, it will be the money contributed by the banks that's put at risk. Now, this will only work if there's real enforcement and real accountability. And that starts with presidential leadership. So let me be very clear. When I am president, financial institutions will do their part and pay their share, and American taxpayers will never again have to put their money on the line to pay for the greed and irresponsibility of Wall Street. That's a pledge I make today, and it's one I'll keep as president of the United States. Now, accountability must start with this rescue plan, but it can't end there. Across Wisconsin, across the country, families are sitting down at the kitchen table and making hard choices. You're planning for your future in tough times. You're squeezing just a little bit more out of next month's paycheck so you can pay next month's bills. It's time for Washington to do the same. We can't mortgage our children's future on a mountain of debt. I look at all these young people here today, and I say to myself, the notion that we are loading up more and more debt on a poor way on tax cuts for multi-billion dollar corporations and some of the wealthiest Americans, that is not a good investment in the future. We can't run up a credit card, have a party, and leave our children to pay the bill. It is time to put an end to the runaway spending and the record deficits. It's not how you would run your family budget, and it must not be how Washington handles your tax dollars. It's time to return to fiscal responsibility and pay-as-you-go budgeting. The kind of budgeting we had in the 1990s. You remember Bill Clinton left a surplus for George W. Bush. Many in Congress have been fighting for these common sense principles, and I'll be a president who supports them and makes sure they succeed. That's why I'm not going to stand here and simply tell you what I'm going to spend. I'm going to start by telling you how I'm going to save when I'm president. We are going to go through the entire federal budget, page by page, line by line, and eliminate the programs that don't work and aren't needed. We should start by ending a war in Iraq that's costing us $10 billion a month while the Iraqi government sits on a $79 billion surplus.
So I'm going to jump out of the speech here. It's available at YouTube. Just enter Obama and La Crosse. That's the town in Wisconsin where he was speaking. And again, I do think that he's masterful. And I am not for a moment setting aside that I don't agree with him on voting for this package. But I think that he has taken that position, melded it together with the other things that you heard. And he stands in stark contrast to John McCain, who's aligned with the failed policies that created this mess, and who really doesn't have a clue about what's going on at kitchen tables across America. 888-5-PETER-B, I got one line open. You can take it now. And we go to John in Pacific Grove. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks for being there. We need a voice, you know. We're definitely not getting it from our representatives.
Well, you were kind enough to forward to me the response that you got by email from your Congressman Sam Farr, and I read part of that on the show yesterday.
Yeah, the verbal response I had from his representative in the office was most interesting, because he said that Sam Farr considered that a loan to Wall Street, not a bailout. And I said, geez, you know, I wish I could get along with those kind of terms. What are the terms? You know, what's the pay? When are they paying it back?
Right.
What's the collateral? you know, I can clean out a bunch of crap out of my garage and you're going to give me, you know, $10,000 and now what do I owe you?
Why doesn't Wall Street have a fire sale on eBay first?
Yeah. And you know, the other thing, the other end of that equation and that I said is, and the crazy part is you're borrowing the money to give to me. What are the terms we're paying? You know, you're paying somebody. The United States is going to borrow money. What are the terms we're paying?
Right. You're exactly right. We're going to borrow from China, and to some extent, we're going to borrow from the very banks that we're giving the relief to by taking their bad paper over.
Right. And are they going to let us just say, hey, you know what, we're going to give you some junk, and, you know, maybe you can get something out of it, maybe not, but we're not really ever going to give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just crazy talk. And the other thing I expressed to this office is that, you know, the last time we had somebody ringing the fire alarm that George Bush is ringing right now, it resulted in hundreds of thousands of people dying, billions of dollars were spending in a war, getting mired down in this debacle that he's, you know, it's just crazy. You guys are following this guy again, you know? It makes no sense to me.
And once again, Bush and Cheney have put them over the barrel of fear. And they're paralyzed by the fear that if they don't take action and have a band-aid that they can point to, that Wall Street could tank or the bankers could cause a short-term problem, and I don't put that past them.
I think they already have.
I do think there's a factor there. I can't prove it, but that's my speculation at the moment, John. And so, yes, we do have this bizarre scene where we're going to borrow money to bail out the people who screwed us, and then we're going to pay interest on that. And, the way they spin this that, oh, gosh, we might make a profit on it and return money to the American taxpayers. Well, you can't say that because the way the plan is written, Paulson or whoever succeeds him has absolute discretion. And there's no standard for what they buy, how much they pay for it, and how much they unload it for. And so it's anybody's guess, and it's not a good guess, that there somehow will be a positive balance at the end of this whole bizarre process.
Yeah, and I just want to further support your standpoint of who is this going to affect down the line. They keep talking about, you know, how this is going to affect everybody's credit. And on CNBC, I was watching as a female commentator discussing this. Well, when this hits Main Street, when the mall down the street closes, mm-hmm. the auto dealership can't sell any cars, I thought, I'll be out with signs saying hooray.
Yeah, they keep saying that, but I don't see any evidence that it's occurring. 888-5 Peter B. If you can challenge that, I want to hear it. 888-573-8372, the Free Speech Zone on the PBC Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and clicking subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
All right, and good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg. Thank you very much, Annabelle Lund, for subbing for me in the first hour of the traffic reports for the Peter B. Collins Show. Starting in Monterey County, we have pedestrians on the roadways on Highway 1, just north of Highway 156. That's southbound Highway 1. And on Highway 101 southbound, just above Ralph Lane. So be careful for those pedestrians. Sticking on Highway 1, moving north, though, to Santa Cruz County, northbound Highway 1 and Highway 17. We've got a hazard there. So slow going as you get on to Highway 17 from Highway 1. Also in Santa Cruz, Graham Hill Road at Summit Avenue, there's a traffic hazard reported, and we've still got that problem at Skyland Road just west of Highland Way. Finally, in the Hollister-Gilroy area, still moving back to Highway 101 just north of Highway 25, we've got a hazard there as well. It's a large cardboard box. Peter B. Collins Show right now on KRXA 540.
Touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is underwritten by an anonymous benefactor from Big Sur, and he or she sent a care package that I received over the weekend with a book, three CDs, and a nice fat check to help us cover our costs for the Democratic Convention remote from Denver back in August.
Can't touch this.
Thank you.
Can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man. Can't touch this.
We continue in the free speech zone. I've got lines available if you'd like to comment on the bailout or anything else that's on your mind. 888-5 Peter B is what puts you through, and Mike knows how to dial it from Aptos. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. I just found your station about a month ago. It's been great.
Well, spread the word. Can I make you VP of Marketing in Aptos?
Sure.
All right.
Well, stickers on.
Great.
I've got a bachelor's degree in economics years ago from UC, and I should be able to understand some of this, what's going on, and I can't make any sense of it. And I know the congressmen don't either. It seems to me it's an accounting problem. Bad debts are pulling down their balance sheets, then why not change the way that they account for them?
Enron had some pretty inventive ways of dealing with that.
Exactly.
So we just send them offshore and name the entity after a Star Wars character.
Yeah, there you go. And then borrow from them.
Yeah.
And but there's two ways to approach it. Either the government can buy the bad debt, get it off their balance sheet, so you can make that bad debt good. And that would be to go to the homeowner and help them, you know, with the mortgage.
Well, you know, I'm loath to support Republicans, you know, in most cases, but one of the suggestions they had was to insure the swaps. And so, in other words, the federal government would offer insurance instead of actually purchasing these, and then they'd only essentially, in the long term, be responsible for the stuff that goes belly up.
Yeah.
And that has some appeal, I must say.
Yeah. This guy said in the administration to talk about the taxpayer maybe coming out ahead in the future. This is the same administration that said the Iraqi oil was going to pay for the war.
Well, and as I was starting to point out a little bit earlier, Mike, we have no idea what the ultimate net bottom line is going to be from this whole, you know, bizarre Ponzi scheme transaction.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where housing equities will actually, you know, bottom out. And they tell us that they can't identify the extent of their exposure because the derivatives have taken the mortgage-backed securities and sliced and diced them, and they can't find the, you know, the exact place where your escalating mortgage might be.
Exactly.
And so it seems simple enough to me, and I hit the wall in Econ 101. I don't have an MBA, but I've run a business successfully for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so I do feel qualified to at least say, attempt to fix the problem where the virus lives before you take on this whole cadaver and just say, well, we bought it, and congratulations to the taxpayers.
Yeah. There's one other thing real quick that it will affect everybody, me personally, is that they start lowering our credit card balances.
Mm-hmm.
30% of your FICO score is based on your debt-to-available credit ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And through no fault of my own, when they lower my credit, available credit, my FICO score is going to go down.
Yeah.
So if I want to borrow some money, I'm going to be paying more for it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I did.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of... I don't know that they initiated it, but I think there's a lot of contrivance going on to...
Well, I think the question is a good one, and perhaps it'll be months or even years before we know exactly how much the financial community has manipulated the current situation to create the crisis we have. It's hard to tell who wants to be wrong. Thank you, Mike. 888-5-PETER-B. You could be next in the Free Speech Zone, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
There is no issue that requires action at the global, national, and local levels more than climate change. We are already feeling the impacts. You are invited to attend an excellent, free United Nations Association program called Responding to Climate Change on the Global, National, and Local Levels. This is on Wednesday, October 1st. At 7 p.m. in the beautiful Steinbeck Forum of the Monterey Conference Center in downtown Monterey. The keynote speaker is Reed Detchen of Ted Turner's United Nations Foundation in Washington, a true expert on global and national climate change policy. Also an excellent local panel with Mayor Chuck De La Sala of Monterey on the role of local governments, Bill Hayward of Hayward Lumber on the role of local businesses, and Megan Tolbert of Citizens for Sustainable Monterey County on the role of community groups. This is a free program. Just come to the Monterey Conference Center on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. More at unamontereybay.org.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Okay. I don't know what my point is. But, anyway, that's the... I was in a club a couple of weeks ago, and I heard from way in the back of the room, you suck! You stink! Get off the stage! And I heard it very clearly, and I think everybody in the whole room heard it because it was so quiet that night. The thing that upset me about it, what bugged me, was I had comped these people in to see the show for free, you know? I figured because it was their 50th wedding anniversary, you know, they'd be kind of proud to see their son on stage performing.
That's comedian Jeff Bolt. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're listening late at night on Green 960, you can call, but my head's on the pillow, okay? But I thank you for staying up all night to catch our program. And just maybe the position in your portfolio is what's keeping you up all night. Triple 85, Peter B., if you'd like to join us, talk about the bailout that the Senate is about to pass. And, of course, that puts more pressure on the House. They reversed the order this time. But consider the possibility of a second political miscalculation. The first was on Monday. Speaker Pelosi took the bill to the floor, assured by Republican leaders that they would provide enough votes to pass it. It came up 13 votes short, Pelosi with egg on her face, and the Republicans pointed a finger at her saying, oh, it was her partisan speech that just destroyed everything. Now, that's bogus. But it doesn't diminish the miscalculation that Pelosi and her crack staff made. They never should have trusted those Republicans. It was clear from the beginning that this was a dangerous trap for the Democrats. And it is a bizarre mix of people who voted with Pelosi and Bush in the House on Monday. And a very interesting lineup of those, Democrat and Republican, who voted against it. I mean, John Doolittle is leaving office to spend more time with his lawyers. So he has, you know, no potential repercussions from the voters, but he voted against it. He's the Republican from District 2 here in California. So the potential exists that Obama, McCain, and many others will vote for this bailout bill, but it will not ultimately pass. It may even clear the Senate tonight with 60, 70 votes. I can't predict that. But if they then take this slightly modified bill to the House on Thursday, and it doesn't pass there, then we have literally hundreds of Democrats in the House and tens of Democrats in the Senate who have just wrap their lovely arms around a big old political liability. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. Also, tomorrow evening, Sarah Palin will face off Joe Biden in the one and only vice presidential debate. The rules have been changed to try to diminish her chances of gaffing. There'll be very little back and forth between her and Biden. The amount of time allotted to the candidates to respond to questions is much shorter than we saw in the presidential debate last Friday. And the expectation is that Sarah Palin will not even attempt to address issues of substance. She will just spout the talking points she's been memorizing as she practices at John McCain's ranch in Arizona. So if you want to comment on that, I'd like to hear it. And finally, I realize that some people may not ever call to talk about red meat politics. So I wanted to throw out one other issue here for us to chew on and get your comments. It comes from the arbiter of personal dilemmas, Dear Abby. The letter came in from All in Love is Fair. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been living together for a year. We split all the bills, rent, utilities, etc., in half. A few nights ago, I asked him how he felt about paying for half of my birth control pills, $40 a month. Because neither of us is ready for children, I think we should share the expense. Am I out of line? And Dear Abby replied, as I see it, there are two kinds of expenses when people share a dwelling, joint expenses and personal ones. Prescription drugs fall in the latter category. Unless you're prepared to pay half the cost of his prescription drugs, including Viagra, my advice is to back down on this one. Now, I don't want to come on too strong here, but I think Abby is wrong. And you don't have to be a chivalrous gentleman to recognize that $40 a month for contraception that gives you the security, being able to have a good time anytime. That's priceless, baby. I think he should pay the whole thing. And at least theoretically, it should reduce the cost of rubbers in that household. If you have an opinion, maybe you're in a situation like that, and the issue has come up about splitting the or covering the cost of birth control, go ahead and weigh in on that. 888-5 Peter B. William in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
A couple of things just really quickly. Another example, of course, of
hey,
how...
Hey, William, just a sec. Are you on a Chinese-made cordless phone?
No, it's got a noise on the line, Peter. I'm sorry.
Okay, maybe that's just the NSA monitoring your calls.
They love me.
Okay, go ahead. We'll put up with it.
Just Gray Davis back in 2002... I think it was during the energy crisis when the energy companies like Enron were gaining the California energy market.
Yeah.
And Gray Davis went to George Bush, and Bush gave him and said, what's going on here? We've got a really serious problem. We need federal intervention
right.
with how these energy companies are dealing with us. And George Bush said it's free market capitalism
right.
and essentially told him, go home.
Yeah, and the term is we got FERC'd. Because the agency that Gray Davis appealed to is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, and it was really Dick Cheney who called that shot and said, California, they voted for Gore. So I think the free market answer is the one we give them.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think you're right there. There's probably an element of that. In addition to that, I think there's just the whole attitude of these were the energy companies. This was Enron. This was Ken Lay, who was a close personal friend who was on the short list to be Secretary of Energy in George Bush's first administration.
William, I got to stop there because the noise is just too much on your line. Can we take up a collection and get you a new phone? Or do you need a new phone company?
They gave me a bad line when I called today.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty, Peter.
Thanks, William. I appreciate it. Now to Vic in Eureka. Hello, Vic. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show listening to KGOE.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to chime in on Obama's latest speech here that you played earlier. That's the first time I heard it when you played it there. I'm a registered Democrat, but I got to tell you, the more I hear of Obama, the more I'm thinking he's just a big phony liar who's telling us what we want to hear. I don't know. Am I crazy in thinking that? It seems like he's really just promising us the moon, and I couldn't tell you a single specific thing that he really wants to do. I don't know. Is it my own ignorance, or do I just hear all these generalities and all these things like, you know, we want everyone to be happy. We want the clean environment, and we're going to have a great economy and education for everyone, health care for everyone. But how is he going to do anything? I haven't heard anything on this.
Well,
Vic, when you played, it seemed like it really just took the cake with that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Vic, on the one hand, I understand your point. And it's something that I've been talking about since the first time I heard Obama speak, which was in 2007. And he gives a great speech. He's a terrific writer. He delivers them well. And he has a very strong skill of being able to take a problem and talk about the elements of it, suggest what he will do, and you come away feeling that he just nailed it, that he you know, identified both the problem and the solution. And when you actually look at the text and get critical, the comment that I used at the time was that most of his speeches have no political calories.
Yeah.
And so you'll never hear him say, you know, House Bill 1422 and Section 3 is something that I think is really important. He does talk in rather broad terms. But I do feel that the speech today was a commitment to working families and to the middle class. And I think it did offer a balance between what he sees as the need to bail out Wall Street at the moment. He before the clip you heard, he had made a reference to, look, if your neighbor's house is on fire, you look at it and you say, well, they're reckless people. They smoke in bed or they, you know, leave the stove on. And he said, but the first thing you need to do is put the fire out so that your house doesn't burn down. And then we can figure out, you know, why their house caught fire and what we should do about it. So that's the metaphor that he used.
Yeah, he's good at using metaphors, isn't he?
But I do believe that what he delivered there was an important set of principles about how to guide the economy going forward, how to address the huge shift in wealth that has occurred under Bush rule. And so I tend to disagree with you because I felt that he capitalized on the situation. And as you know, I don't agree with his support of the bailout, but he coupled that with a promise to address the underlying issues in a way that benefits average people. And sure, some of this is lofty campaign talk. It's the old Lee Marvin idle male promises. But, you know, that's marketing. That's politics. And when you contrast him with John McCain, who really is offering very little except his notion of being personally the rescuer charging in on a white horse, you know, I have to give the benefit in this debate to Obama.
Well, fortunately,
and
those
we see
are
the
not
polls
the
moving that
candidates,
way.
You know.
Yeah, but you know, I don't dismiss the other candidates, but at the same time, we know that none of them has a chance of winning a single state.
Not yet, not in this election. But, you know, if you vote for them, then it grows, you know, and they get matching funding if they get 5% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you start momentum, and maybe three or four or five elections from now,
mm-hmm.
then they become a viable candidate, and we have a choice. And I think people really need to stop this thought of, well, I have to stick to one of the two major parties, you know, because otherwise I'm wasting my vote. I think you're wasting your vote if you vote for somebody that you don't really want. And I'm also thinking that the Democrat and Republican parties are becoming more and more one in the same, really.
Mm-hmm.
And when you only have two real parties in power, it becomes very easy for the powers that be, such as heads of corporations and things like that, who want to place their agenda and their person in office, to get their candidate on a ticket. When you only have two parties where you have to get your front man out there,
mm-hmm.
their work is done. You know, whereas if you had five or six or seven parties to deal with that were contenders, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
So
I don't disagree with anything you've said. It's just my knowledge of the political structure. You know, even Ross Perot spent $150-200 million, and he didn't win a single state. He didn't win a single electoral vote. And so, what I'd like to ask you to do is this Friday at 3:30 Pacific time, we're going to be talking with a lawyer named Barry Fadum, and he is promoting legislation in California that would, under certain circumstances, change the way we allocate our electoral college votes. It would take it from winner-take-all to a proportional distribution of the electoral college votes. It would only kick in when, I don't know what the trigger point is, but like 38 or 40 other states approve it as well. This is an end run on the electoral college that could offer the opportunity down the road for a third party or independent candidate to actually win the presidency.
Right.
And this doesn't require a constitutional amendment, which is what it would take to change the electoral college structure. And it's something I fully support. But until that happens, honestly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this program talking about Ralph Nader or Bob Barr. We haven't had Nader on, but we had his vice president, Matt Gonzalez, and we have had Bob Barr on once. I want them to be a part of the debate, but I also understand that at this point, they don't have a shot at winning, and so I want to try to focus on the two imperfect choices that we have, try to come up with the best under the current rules.
Yeah, I understand. I hope people come around and change.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call today. Good to talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum on duty taking your calls today.
Good afternoon, this is Hal Ginsberg with your final KRFA 540 traffic report on October 1st, Wednesday. We've got a pedestrian on the roadway, Highway 1, just north of Highway 156, walking northbound on the right-hand side of Highway 1. And we've got a pedestrian on the roadway on Highway 101 southbound, just north of Ralph Lane. One other hazard report, Highway 1 northbound in Santa Cruz County, just at the intersection with Highway 17. There's a hazard there you got to be aware of. That is a bunch of cones and construction cones in the lanes that are slowing people down there. Otherwise, things have really opened up in the past half hour, and you should have a pretty good ride for the rest of the evening. Enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up after this on AM 540. And don't forget to tune in to my show tomorrow morning, Thursday at 8 a.m. Robert in Monterey from Caltix.com will be my guest.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buyrite Market in Delhi at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buyrite has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buyrite Market in Delhi. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buyrite Market in Delhi is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buyrite Market in Delhi, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show today. And if you don't have time to call the show, drop me an email. You can do it anytime it's convenient for you. I love your feedback, your ideas for topics and guests. My email is humblehost@peterbcollins.com or peter@peterbcollins.com or fullofit@peterbcollins.com. And returning for a second bite today, it's Gina in Salinas. I'm glad you called back, Gina. I want to learn more about what you're talking about related to sovereign wealth funds and the American Federal Reserve Bank. So go ahead.
Well, they're planning on, are the people that we will borrow the $800 billion or whatever the amount is from will be the sovereign wealth fund, okay?
But a single fund, or, you know, this is
a
term.
Oh, that's a group of funds. But,
okay, but for example, in the past year, then, you know, Saudi Arabia and Korea and China have all put money in from government investment funds into American-based financial institutions to help prop them up.
I know, and that was only what you saw in that article was about $25 billion.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now think about it this way. $800 billion is what we would borrow, plus interest. And from what I understand, we're still paying on what Reagan borrowed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So the thing of it is, they own the Federal Reserve. Some of this group owns the Federal Reserve. Okay? The money is... We need to national. If we said we were going to nationalize the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. we'd probably be so much better off. Because just think about all the money we owe, and look what kind of shape we're in. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything to show for it, but who does?
Yeah.
The big pharmaceuticals, my God, the banks, everybody is getting money, but the American people and the United States is going down the tubes. This is another great big jump on that. They're using the. Subprime lending, that's probably the smallest amount of it. I think they said for $100 billion, we could pay off all those loans. But
well,
the problem is the funny paper.
Right. $45 trillion worth of these swaps and mortgage-backed securities that have been converted into other products. So, yes, we do have a problem that has been leveraged out of control, and I believe that it's incumbent on Wall Street to solve it and not you and me to pay for it.
The sovereign wealth fund, the group that has so much money in our stock market that they can buy or sell at will and scare us.
All right, Gina, I got to take some other calls, but I will look into this more. Frankly, I've got a lot to learn about sovereign funds, and I also need to know more about the underlying structure of the Federal Reserve. So
good deal.
I'll try to learn more, and then I'll try to bring some guests on who can tell us about it, okay?
Good
Thank
deal.
You. Now we go to Motown, where Frank Zappa, or Russell, is on the line. Hello, Russell.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm coming to Motown later this month. I'm going to do the show from Detroit for a couple of days.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Don't tell me where you are.
Don't.
I'm not a safe person to your location. No, I'm just kidding with you.
I'll be at your Progressive Talk station, WDTW.
Well, good luck. I think that's Clearwater. Yeah.
No, clear channel, not Clearwater.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So what's on your mind?
I'm home from work.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
I was interested in Sarah Palin's education this afternoon, and I looked her up, and it's kind of interesting. If you check her out, she's been to a lot of colleges.
I believe she went to 5 schools in 4 years, right?
And she went to one. Hawaii Pacific University took one semester and dropped out and went to a community college, and she had, like, a history of that, and I think it'd be interesting if anybody found out if she actually flunked out of any classes.
Well, you know, she also claimed she has a degree as a journalism major.
Right.
But she doesn't appear to actually read any journalistic product because
she couldn't
name a Supreme Court case. In the debates in Alaska, she was very vague and had little cue cards to help her with policy issues. But mainly she knows how to memorize attack lines and deliver them pretty well. So it's going to be...
Read prompt-
teleprompters.
Well, there won't be a teleprompter for the debate tomorrow night, so she'll have to rely on her memory and what they've been able to program her with. But it will be very interesting, and we just have to hope that Joe Biden plays it delicately, because this is the kind of situation where I think she can unravel herself. But if he is seen as pulling the cord that causes that, then she'll be a victim, and the media will be responsible, and the right wing will play that. And, of course, they've discovered sexism now, Russell. So
oh, yeah.
That's what we're going to hear about. Hey, I got to jump to another call.
But her hair. If her hair's up, yeah. If her hair's down, she might be wired.
Okay.
Always wears her hair up. Okay,
all right.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Now to Tony in Santa Cruz. Hi, Tony. You're on the air. I got a minute.
Okay, well, I called you last week, and I told you that this is all a cover for the buying out of bad derivatives. Anyway, Mort Zuckerman was on Charlie Rose last night, and he and the New York Times financial man said this is completely backwards, that they should be buying out the problem mortgages at the bottom. And he didn't say this, but I say they would end up with all the money anyway because it would filter up through the system. People would have their homes back, the banks and start rehiring the people and that sort of thing. But I would like to put one idea in your mind.
Go.
Since they needed us so much, why didn't we just say, Mr. Bush, tear your stone walls down. Have him give every single piece of information Congress wanted since the beginning of his tenure. Before we gave him a single dollar.
All right, Tony, thanks. That's an interesting swap, a derivative swap, an information swap, an honesty, a truthiness swap. Thanks to everybody for listening to the show today and calling in and participating and emailing and all that stuff. I'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. I'll talk to you then.
Keep smiling.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The U.S. Senate is about to vote on a $700 billion rescue plan for the economy. Let's go live to Washington and CBS News correspondent Tom Foti.
Well, Bill, right now the Senate's considering a couple of proposed changes in the package before voting on the final version in the next half hour or so. One of them by Vermont Independent Bernard Sanders, who opposes the rescue package because he thinks it rescues the wrong people, bankers instead of people being foreclosed.
We must act, but we must act in a way that improves the situation. We can do better than the legislation we are dealing with tonight.
But most of the Senate speeches have been along the lines of South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
I know this is not a perfect bill, and I know this is a bad choice, but I need to act, and I need to act now, and I will.
Senators and presidential candidates John McCain and Barack Obama feel pretty much the same way. Bill?
The credit crisis is real for many business people who can't borrow to buy inventory, and CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports it's real for many state and municipal governments that can't sell bonds to finance their projects.
In Birmingham, Alabama, the county has to come up with at least $83 million in interest payments this week on a sewer loan or else suffer the nation's largest government bankruptcy.
It's like falling off of a 30-story building and you've been able to watch
29, 28, 27, and now we're down at the bottom. So we're about to hit.
The failure of Lehman Brothers and the $85 billion bailout of AIG are a big part of the problem. That took huge buyers of municipal bonds out of the equation.
And the difficulty getting auto loans has taken car buyers out of the showrooms. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports.
The credit crisis causing many would-be car buyers to hunker down and not commit to a big-ticket purchase. Others who wanted to buy found they couldn't get the credit. The auto industry saying things will only get worse if the credit crisis isn't fixed, and they say even if it is fixed, things won't improve until next year.
Automakers suffered steep sales declines in September. Nissan down 37%, Ford down 34%. A hiker may have helped solve the mystery of Steve Fawcett's disappearance. The millionaire adventurer and his small plane disappeared more than a year ago after taking off from a ranch in Nevada.